All right, BradCooney.com. I'd like to welcome to the show indie recording artist Fortitude. What is up, man?
Not much.
Appreciate you joining the show.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, good stuff, man. So before we get into your latest project, tell my listeners out there a little bit about you. When did you first start getting into music, and how did that start?
I first started getting into music where I was, excuse me, I'm a little under the weather, so I might come off a little foggy, but
okay.
I first started getting into music when I was about 20 years old. I made some guitar songs, I wrote the chords, or I put the chords together, and I wrote the lyrics and everything. Those were the first music that I made.
How old are you now?
Yeah, I am 28 now.
So you started later in life. A lot of people that are music recording artists, they start out really when they're really young. So what was it that prompted you to start making music in the first place?
I come from like a family where there's a lot of like creative expression. I just got done actually doing paintings.
Oh.
For a while. I actually sold a couple paintings. And then I kind of burnt out it from painting, but I just kind of moved on to the next art project, and it was music at the time when I was 21. So, and I later picked up painting again, and then when I put painting down, I picked up like what the indie rap music that I do now is.
Now, were you always into theater or acting or arts previous to all this, or was this again something else that started when you were over 20?
Well, I was in the school play when I was a senior.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I didn't get crazy into it. I was more of a sports high school kid,
mm-hmm,
than I was a theater. I didn't do any of the singing at school or anything. I wasn't involved with any of that. So, like I said, sports came first, but I did do that one. I was, I think it's Judd in Oklahoma.
Oh, cool.
The villain, the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's who I played as.
That's pretty cool. All right, so let's talk about this latest record you put out. It's titled Manhattan. First, how many tracks are on this record?
There are 10 official tracks, and there are 11 unofficial tracks.
Okay. What was the thinking behind titling it Manhattan?
So a couple things. There's a couple little things. So one is the Manhattan Project, which was during World War II. Like ultimately, the Manhattan Project, which was us discovering the atomic bomb,
mm-hmm,
putting these physicists together in a room, and that led to the end of the war. I am a physicist. I went to school for physics.
Oh,
so there's
cool.
That tie. Yep, there's that tie in there.
Did you get a degree in physics?
Did I get a what?
A degree. You got a degree in physics?
Yep, I have a bachelor's in physics.
Very cool. I got a question for you after this interview's over with on physics. Let's get back on
definitely
your stuff. Yeah. So, finish your thought.
And honestly, as soon as we finished the recording, as soon as we finished 67 Diamonds, it's like, oh, it's done. And then I'm like, well, what are we going to name the... Well, actually, it wasn't at the end of 67 Diamonds. It was like our third to last recording session. My brother Jake was in the studio with me because he had done the last little he did the last little chorus in Castles in the Sand. And then we did Pride Leads to Destruction, and I think Rain Top. And I forget it. We may have done another one. But after that, I really got excited about how the album was coming together.
Mm.
And then I was talking to my producer. We were deciding how the album cover was going to look and then what we were going to call it. And he's like, let's just name it Manhattan.
I like that.
Works perfectly.
I like that. I like the Manhattan Project, too. I like that. I like that tie-in. What I found really interesting about you when I was reading about you, researching for this interview, is this record. It's a storyteller. First of all, when I opened up your file and I got your photo, I saw the picture of the soldier. And I was like, oh, this is different. This is going to be interesting. You know what I'm saying? Because that doesn't really happen much. Normally, it's a picture. Yeah. You know, something else. So that was cool. That got my attention because we're both veterans, by the way. I'm also a veteran.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for your service. So it's interesting. So what inspired you to write this record based on American Wars? And also, I read something about a Kendrick Lamar connection.
Yeah. So, like, the individual track, Fortitude,
yep.
which is the opening track, that one... that one's like primarily kind of focused on like the history of war. And kind of represents the virtue of fortitude. That one I just kind of got from like personal experience and books that I read, you know, the chorus, I'm on the beach, your buddy dies, brother, buddy wails and cries, bullets fly across the sky, rosary beads, will I survive? And that's like this book that I read. It talked about like, it just painted this really vivid scene, and those were things I remember from that scene. And that's what I used as the chorus, and another experience. And then, like, back in the day, kind of has a little bit of, like, that's just me trying to, like, flow with some rap lyrics. So,
yeah.
And kind of, like, a present-day rap thing. So, I guess Pride Leads to Destruction has a bit of, like, kind of a medieval soldier kind of, like, a theme to it. So, because it's about a king, you know, and swords and stuff like that. We didn't really try to follow a theme when we were putting together the album. It's just kind of how it came together.
Yeah. Now, have you always been a history buff, like interested in wars and things like that, the historical part?
You know, I don't read a whole lot, but every now and then I'll research something, and I love learning something every now and then about history. So sometimes I just Wikipedia and I just follow links on Wikipedia. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. I think the one war, quote unquote, that I think is the most impressive was they call it the Red Velvet War, I think that's what it's called, and that was in the Czech Republic. It was under communist regime, mm-hmm. and nobody just showed up to work one day. They had it scheduled. They had a plan. No one's going to go to work, and the entire country took the day off of work, and then by the end of the day, the country wasn't communist anymore. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so
there's more ways to fight wars than just with guns, you know?
Yeah, man. You know, I picked up a hobby called metal detecting a while back, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It's a really fun hobby. I mean, I'm in my 50s now, and it's like I just discovered this hobby about 4 or 5 years ago. But I live in Mississippi. I'm born and raised in New York. I'm from New York and grew up and graduated from New York. But I lived in the South ever since I got out of the military. But there's a lot of Civil War history in this state, and so I did some metal detecting, and we found this area where a Confederate campsite, where Confederates camped in the Civil War. And dude, it's so wild, man. I'll be back there and I'll find stuff that these soldiers dropped. I mean, like cuff buttons off Confederate uniforms and dropped bullets that were never shot. And it's just a weird feeling. I don't know why I'm going off on this path, but your song.
You know, I get what you mean. It's a totally different day and age. Like, when that button was on that guy's jacket, the things that he thought about, or the way the world was just a totally different place.
Exactly. You get it. So it was crazy. It's like, when I found this button, it's made out of pewter, and it's a South Carolina regiment Confederate cuff button. And what's crazy is I almost didn't dig it, because those buttons and things that are made out of pewter, on my machine, on my metal detector, like modern shotguns shells, like head stamps, will ring up kind of the same. They sound the same with the tone, and they kind of ring up in the same the same parameter. So I must have dug like 30 of those freaking shotgun shells. And I was actually on my way back to my car, and I was like trekking through the woods, and I got another one of those, what I thought was a shotgun shell. So I was like, man, F this. I'm not going to dig. I'm sick of digging them. But I heard this weird high tone that came with it. I was like, ooh, that sounded a little bit different. So I went ahead and dug it, and it was a freaking Confederate cuff button. But what was really cool is like when I pulled it out of the ground, that's the first daylight that this thing has seen in like 150 years since that Confederate soldier dropped it. I'm the first human to touch it since that Confederate soldier dropped it. So what's crazier, just to get a little deeper, it's like I got this connection now with me and an unknown Confederate soldier. You know, we're the last two people that be in possession of this cuff button. And I'll never know. I get asking questions like, I wonder if he lived. Did he survive? Was he able to grow, to get older and have kids and grandkids? Or was he killed, you know, in the Battle of Vicksburg? Anyway, so your songs, when I read about you, so I'm circling back to that, I was like, yeah, this is so different. It's so different, this whole, I love it. You got my interest, man. I didn't mean to go off on my own little tangent there.
But no, that's okay. That's cool, dude. That's the coolest story I've heard in a while. You don't hear people could, you don't find a whole lot of people that are digging stuff up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, one quick side note, I have seen people, when they throw the metal, they throw the magnets into lakes.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
France, and they fish off the pistols. I've seen that.
Yeah, it's called magnet fishing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. It's actually the metal detecting is a resurging hobby. It used to be really popular back in like the 70s and the 80s, but here in the last like 10 years, it's really like resurged again. And if you find the right spot, you can still find a lot of really cool historical relics in the ground. Like I found all kinds of old coins. And anyway, circling back to you. So you call yourself, your stage name is Fortitude, and so is the song. So when did you decide to call yourself Fortitude?
Well, my previous, you know, my last name was August Sunset, but that was just a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
So I wanted to change it, and it was going to be, I know I wasn't sure. I wanted to use one of the four, like the four cardinal virtues, temperance, mm-hmm. prudence, fortitude, or justice. And I didn't really like temperance. I didn't really like prudence. I liked justice, but I didn't think justice really was what didn't really seem to fit. Mm-hmm. So fortitude seemed to fit.
Yeah.
My name was...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Now there's a little bit of a delay. There's like a second delay in the phone. I think that's why we keep stepping on each other. You finish your thought.
Oh, yeah. Here, let me take myself off speakerphone.
You know, I don't. You don't have to. It's all good. It's up to you.
Okay. My name was Fortitude before the song was Fortitude. So
cool. I like it. I think Fortitude's a great, actually a really good stage name. I do.
Thank you.
When somebody asks you, what style of music do you create? What do you tell them?
I just figured this out. I will tell them indie, rap, electronica.
Now, tell me more about electronica. How does that fit in?
I just say that because when you're listening to it ambiently, it's kind of got like a gentle kind of, I don't know, not all the tracks, but some of the tracks got a bit of like a little bit of an electronic edit to it. My producer did like a lot of, like keyboarding in the back, like keyboarding in the back of a lot of the tracks. When my truck's computer, when I play the music, it reads it as like electronica music. I thought that was
interesting. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. I did see that. That is interesting. Are you guys going to shoot a video for this song?
I'm not sure yet.
It would be interesting. That'd be a very interesting video with the war theme.
It would be.
Yep. I think you should do it. I know they're pricey, make this stuff's expensive putting videos together. And but yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be very cool. A cool video. Even if it was just a lyric video and you just kind of like did some still shots over it, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've been collecting like old recordings of the different wars to try and maybe put together like, you know, black and white videos as it's going on, but we'll see.
Yeah, that would be cool. And you mentioned your producer. Talk about the production a little bit, because I did like how the song was produced. I heard the one song, Fortitude. I didn't get into the other song, but I really enjoyed the song. And I can tell it was put together well. So talk about the production and the producer.
Yeah, the producer is, well, it was recorded at Carpet Booth Studios in Rochester, Minnesota. It's the same place that, Young Gravy records out of there. So he's like the big name that goes through there. But the producer, his name is Amir Amrani, or his like production, his artist name is Saeed. So he's in California right now doing some stuff, but he's trying to take off on his like own different way. But so I kind of caught him right before he left.
Nice.
I mean, the whole thing was all produced, by him and at Carpet Booth. I was like working at Fastenal during the day, and I was going to Carpet Booth at night sometimes. And I live like the opposite direction, about 45 minutes away. So sometimes I would like go to Carpet Booth after work, and I would spend the night, go to Fastenal, and go back to Carpet Booth the next day to try and get through it. Try and put it all together. So a lot of the lyrics to the different songs I've had memorized because I had wrote them so long ago and practiced them so many times. So it didn't take us very long to put them together. The 42 track, that one I wrote while we were putting the album together though. So
What is your writing process? Do you have like lyrics that come to your head, or do you have a melody or something come to your head? Which do you do first, or is it both? Do you lay down lyrics first and then music behind it, or can it go the other way also?
Yeah, I just kind of take it as it comes. Sometimes I get lyrics or cadences out of nowhere. Sometimes I get them from a song. Sometimes I get them off of a beat, and sometimes it's always different. So.
How much does your mood drive the kind of songs that you write?
Oh, that definitely makes a difference. I guess I have a tendency to be melancholic. So I think you can kind of see that.
Yeah, I can tell. You definitely seem like a laid-back cat.
Yeah, most of the time.
Well, everybody has their moments.
Yeah, absolutely, myself included.
Yep.
I'm like a melancholic, sanguine. So sometimes I could be really perky, really happy, or I could just be, I don't know, it's a weird combination of characteristics. I would say that when it came to this track in particular, I really wanted to like rap it, or I wanted to, say it or produce it in a way that it would be like as if a veteran is like staring, like as if I'm listening to my grandpa telling me that this happened.
That's how I took it.
With a straight face.
That's how I took it. Yeah. I'm probably old enough to be your grandfather. Well, or close.
And, I don't know about that. Maybe my dad, but.
Well, I'm 58, so what do you say? You're 28? How old are you?
I'm 28.
So I'm 30 years older than you are.
And maybe at the time you could have been my grandpa.
Yeah, but that's how I took it. I kind of, when I listened to your song, I was just kind of seeing it through the lens of a veteran, and also like I think you mentioned in the song about how I don't remember how it was verbatim, but I got the Vietnam War, that part. There was part of the song about the Vietnam War. And how, I don't know if you talked about how they were treated, but that's what was going through my mind. That popped up because the Vietnamese not to be the music, Vietnam War, our veterans got treated like shit when they came back, a lot of them.
Yep, that was like the last part of the song.
Yeah, yep. Well done, man. I really did. I enjoyed the song. It's different. It's not your atypical hip-hop song. It is rap, but it's you kind of found your own little lane there. It's a unique style, so kudos to that.
Thank you.
So you had an EP released prior to Manhattan called August Letter, right? Is that correct? Talk about that a little bit, and then I got a couple more questions for you, then we can start wrapping it up.
Yeah, well, that was, so I had kind of put my rap music down for a while, and then when I first picked it up, these are like the songs that I kind of put together first, and I'm like, you know what, I think I'm just going to go to the studio, and I'm going to make an EP, and yeah, that was the EP that I walked out with. So there are, like, there's four official tracks, and then a fifth unofficial track. The fifth is an unofficial track just because I use the story of OJ's beat, so I didn't like publish that. It's just on my YouTube. Mm-hmm. So somebody wants to listen to it, they could find it there. But so yeah, that one's kind of, it kind of sticks with the soldier theme on the cover of it, sort of thing. But the songs aren't really like soldier themed songs, I guess, but they're definitely more of a melancholic mood, but there is one in there called Dreamscape that's definitely like more aggressive. It's got more of an aggressive tempo to it, I guess you would say. Yeah, I didn't really feel like that one was complete. It was kind of the ice cream without any of the condiments, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then once that was done, that kind of launched me to being like ready to make an actual LP album. Like once I did that, and once I kind of checked that box off, I'm like, okay, let's go all in. Mm-hmm. So
what is the plan going forward? Have you thought about doing some live performing, and what are some goals you have set for the new year coming up, 2024?
I'm not so sure yet. I've thought about live performing, but I haven't like done any. I haven't like looked into it. I don't have a manager or anything. So I mean, I have a full time job that really keeps me engaged. So
right.
I would just need help with that stuff if I were to do it. I'm open to it. I would never try and tour, but I would definitely try and perform like in the Midwest. I think that would be a lot of fun, even if it was at smaller venues.
Yeah. Where are you from? Like, where do you live?
I live in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Green
Bay. All the way. I'm at the top of the Mississippi, and you're at the bottom.
Yeah, no kidding. Are you a Green Bay Packers fan?
Absolutely.
They did pretty good the other day. I think they beat up Philadelphia the way they did.
Yeah, I was feeling all right about it.
And I think you guys might have found a quarterback. I think he's not perfect yet, but I think he can really grow. I think he's got potential.
My fingers are crossed.
Yeah, a bunch of Packer fans are. You guys had some great quarterbacks up there over the years. So we'll see how he does. I just see a lot of potential in him. I really do. He's young. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a kickback kind of dude. He's kind of like you. He's kind of chill. You know, he's kind of chill. I think he's got potential. All right, so last thing I got for you, then I'll let you tell everybody where they can get your music and follow you. Who are some of your? I read who your musical influences are, but the listeners haven't. So who are some of your musical influences?
Yeah, music in general, I would say the band U2.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I was inspired by a lot of older bands like Pink Floyd,
yes,
and Led Zeppelin. Just their creativity, their approach around creativity. When it comes to rappers, I'm probably most inspired by Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. I love Lil Wayne too. I wouldn't say I'm not super inspired by Lil Wayne's music as I am just by who he is as a person, mm-hmm. by his lyrics and stuff. It's difficult for me to describe. I just love the guy. So yeah, I like Future. I get a little bit of inspiration from Future. I get a little bit of inspiration from ASAP Rocky too. And then just people from all over the place. Yeah, so.
It's a good mix. It's a good mix of musical influences. Now, of course, Lil Wayne's from New Orleans, and I live about 2 hours from New Orleans, and he's pretty big down here, that's for sure. He is unique. He has a different flavor of music, but he separated himself. You know what I mean, from the pack, and if you can do that's impressive. So. All right, man. Well, I enjoyed talking to you. You're talented too. You got a different lane. I keep saying that. I liked what I heard, man. I want to hear some more from you. Tell everybody out there where they can follow you and where they can get your music.
Yeah. Well, I'm on Spotify and iTunes Music, on YouTube, all major platforms. If you want to hear all my music, you'd want to look me up on YouTube. My handle is Fortitude777, but it just shows up as Fortitude. And then if you're looking to contact me for any reason, it'd be fortitudemusic333@gmail.com.
Awesome. Look, I had a lot of fun talking to you, man. Whenever you got some new stuff you want to drop, just let us know. We'd love to get you back on the show.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Have a good night. Oh, hold on.